Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, we're going to talk about the California Consumer Privacy Act, CCPI. And on I have DV Dronum Raju, who has, and I wrote pronunciation down for that, so just so I get it right. He was the founder of InfoSec Enforcer and also has a book coming out on the CCPI compliance, which I'm sure everybody in the country is thinking about because California's kind of leading the way on this. So welcome today, DV. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show, Christopher. I appreciate it.
Definitely, and we're looking to hear about CCPI, and you. This is the first show we've done that kind of addresses the topic as it's relatively new, and we have somebody with us that basically knows all the ins and outs and literally wrote the book to be published in the next couple months, maybe even by the time this airs. So, DV, give us kind of your background, how you came to where you're at and entered into following the CCPI.
I have a deep security background. I did a lot of products in security. I took them to market. I'm an entrepreneur, so I was involved in actually taking companies and getting companies acquired, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm based out of Silicon Valley. So in 2017, the massive Equifax data breach happened, and that hit home for me. Okay, so I said, you know, let's me go figure it out. How can you do data breach prevention? And I researched extensively on the existing DLP technologies and tools and processes and the business risk assessment aspect of it. So what it came down to, you know, I put that in a white paper and I published that in May 2018, and it is titled Free the World of Data Breaches. Okay, and that became, you know, my mission and passion about it, said, you know. But then immediately after that, in June 2018, Sacramento lawmakers, you know, woke up and they started working on consumer privacy and California Consumer Privacy Act. And that act was signed into law end of June in 2018. Mm-hmm. So now my, you know, the mission I started with, Free the World of Data Breaches, became much more easier to achieve. So I said, you know what, it's easier to achieve that when we start providing, you know, CCPA compliance and some kind of automation for CCPA compliance. So we then started developing software. Now InfoSec Enforcer has software to automate CCPA compliance. So that gives you an idea on how I came about this.
Okay, so you weren't a lawmaker involved with it, just kind of got interested in watching the laws as they were coming through or afterwards?
It was afterwards. It became, you know, I showed up on it as an alert saying, you know, Governor Brown signed CCPA into law. And like next day, I think July 1st or July 2nd, I saw a snippet about it and says, this is interesting. What is it? Because, you know, the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal happened, mm-hmm. you know, the Equifax data breach and the Marriott breach happened. So all of these kind of culminated in that stuff. Of course, there is a historical background behind what exactly happened with the CCPA, you know, how it got enacted. Mm-hmm. It started as a ballot measure in California, and it grew really fast. So it was going to go on ballot. So the lawmakers saw that, and that it has significant legs, and it is likely to actually pass ballot. They decided to intervene and create the law before the ballot measure came up. So Governor Jerry Brown, I think, had to sign it by June 28th. before the sponsor of the ballot actually withdrew the ballot. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, it was right there. So like everything happened for them. So I was not involved in any drafting of that ballot. I was not involved in the drafting of the law.
Okay. We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors to talk more about the California Consumer Privacy Act. Be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today, talking to DV Dronamraju.
Thank you.
At least I'm attempting this, right?
Yeah.
The founder of InfoSec Enforcer and author of the to-be-published CCPA Compliance, kind of the right. Guide, the manual. So tell us about this intersection of privacy, security, and where you come at it from your direction.
So I came out from the perspective of security. Obviously, I did a lot of network security, you know, firewalls, next-gen firewalls, intrusion prevention, UTMs. You know, I think everybody forgot the term UTM now. They're now called next-gen firewalls. Mm-hmm. So I did that and then moved into the data protection space, data breach prevention space, because of, you know, what I saw. And I found that from the perspective of DLP, the technology was like written about 20 years ago. The core algorithms and the core technology, the regex-oriented stuff was written very, very, very long ago. And that doesn't work anymore. So we started working on associated technology. And we have a good DLP product, okay? And it's very nice. But then the CCPA came into play and we said, you know, that's an add-on for compliance, okay? So my security background really comes from the fact that we were looking at data breach preventions, mm-hmm. whether it was in the network, in the cloud, and combining all of integrated data breach prevention, right? And protecting data with the right type of classification of the data. Okay, that's the core element of it. Okay, and now we have a CCPA compliance product, and the data breach prevention will be the add-on to that product. Mm-hmm. So the product we deliver today online, it's web-based software. It is for CCPA privacy request management. Okay, in the GDPR terminology, it's more like data subject request management. Mm-hmm. So we fully automated the privacy request management.
That's a good area to start with. I'd like to know, what do you think between GDPR, which a lot of people are familiar with, and CCPA, right. What are the key features that are the same and the differences?
So having reviewed GDPR cursorily, I may not be able to give you line by line comparison, mm-hmm. but the generic comparison I give you is the following. Okay. Number one is penalties. Right. That's one big comparison.
Okay.
Number two is
penalties. Are they similar or?
No, they are substantially different.
Okay.
They're substantially different. So think about it from the following angle: regulation versus action, private action. Mm-hmm. CCPA has two elements into it. There is a regulatory element, and there is an element that talks about private action. So a California resident can go to court and basically say, my data got breached. It's public. It's because of you, Mr. Company ABC, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take you to court and you have 30 days to respond. or cure. So cure means, you know, make sure the breach doesn't happen. And that breach has already happened. There's no cure to it, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. So 30 days later, now, obviously, how class actions work, right? The attorney comes in, you know, they have a main plaintiff and they bring a class action and the class action goes to court. So the company now has to prove that they had reasonable security procedures to prevent breaches.
Gotcha.
And that's a tough act to follow, right? So that's private action. That's not in GDPR.
So GDPR fines from a organizational government level, and this just enables consumers to basically file class actions or individual actions against companies.
For data breaches.
Okay. So there's no punitive government fines involved with CCPA.
CCPA, there is additionally enforcement punitive fines too. Okay. Enforcement action, as they call it, right? So the consumer has his specific rights. There are about 7 or 8 specific rights defined in CCPA.
Okay.
The consumer comes to your website and says, I want to exercise right number 5, right? Say, delete all my personal information. Mm-hmm. And the business doesn't respond in 30 days or 60 days, then the consumer can go complain to the California Attorney General. Then the Attorney General will then file action. And that action per incident, anywhere between $2,500 to $7,500. So it adds up really fast.
Okay.
So let's take the example of,
is that a fine levied by the state? Or
by the
is
state.
That a suit to the individual?
By the state.
Okay.
And it goes into the fund that the state created to address the regulation. So it's actually going to go inside the fund, which will fund additional action by, several attorneys in the state.
Does the consumer that filed the complaint see any of that money, or is it just the state?
No, the consumer will not see that money.
Okay.
But consumer will get some recourse.
Okay. And how does that look?
Like if they say delete personal information and the action wasn't taken, $7,500 fine, and the company now will go fix that problem, right? Mm-hmm. And the consumer can go do it again and then it gets deleted.
Okay.
It doesn't get deleted second time. There's another second action, another $7,500. And the consumer can go third time, fourth time, till they actually cure it.
Okay. So this takes a lot of pressure from consumers. They have to start getting involved.
Yes. The consumers can really get involved. I tend to believe more than the penalties coming from the state, mm-hmm. the consumers are more likely to get involved with respect to data breach action.
Okay.
Because that's more a class action oriented stuff. If 1 million records are breached, assuming 1 million records, consumer records, let's take the example of Equifax 2017 breach, right? Mm-hmm. From what I understand, there are about 15 million California residents' information that got breached in the Equifax kind of thing, right? And Equifax paid about 700, got penalized, had a fine of about $700 million by FTC. Mm-hmm. Under CCPA, the class action alone can run anywhere between 1.5 million to 10, 15 million, something in that range. Mm-hmm. And this is the range of, $100 to $750 per record. So there is a minimum. That's the problem that everybody sees. There is a $100 minimum that was stated in the law, right? Uh-huh. So now you got to go insure yourself for those liabilities.
So the companies have to go insure themselves.
Yes.
Okay. And interesting. I didn't want to. We're coming up on a sponsor break here, but I would like to know when we come back. Let's talk about how this is impacting companies and
right.
and what the what their near term, long term, even their outcry or whatever. Is it something they just accept, or is it problematic? We'll be right back.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, talking about California Consumer Privacy Act with author D.V. Dronumraju, and has written the book called The CCPA Compliance, which should be out soon, or if by the time we air this, maybe already. And we were talking before the break about what it means to fines, what it means to the consumer, how they get involved, where their rights are. Now, curious about what your take is on how the companies are reacting. Are they leaving California?
Well, I think some companies are leaving California for a completely different reason. the housing crisis is a different, bigger problem in Silicon Valley, obviously. But that aside, no, I don't think, you know, even if they do leave California, they still have California residents as consumers or, you know, as customers for them, right? Mm-hmm. Now, whether you're a B2C or a B2B company, it applies to both types of companies, okay? Just use, look at the word consumer and kind of replace that with California resident. Okay. And then everything becomes, you know, easy for it to see, you know, you can see whether it's applicable for your business or not. Okay.
Okay.
So let's take an example of in California business versus not registered in California business. If you're in California, you know, there are certain, about three or four criteria, simple criteria. Mm-hmm. One, you should be, your revenue should be like 25 million or above. So by default, it applies to you. Okay. You have 50,000 California resident information, then it applies to you.
So it doesn't apply to companies smaller than that?
It doesn't apply to companies smaller than that. Yes, it does not. But think about it this way. If you're a $5 million company in today's world, mm-hmm. you at least have an email list of 50,000 users.
Probably.
Right?
Yeah.
So then it applies to you, right? So because it meets that 50,000 threshold. Or if you're a data broker where 50% of your revenue comes from selling data, then it applies to you.
Okay.
Okay. So there are three different criteria where it applies. Mm-hmm. So now let's take it outside California, right?
Okay.
If you're $25 million or above in revenue, even if you have one California resident as a consumer, as a business, right, for you, then it applies to you.
Wow.
So it's not clear. That area of law is not clear on how it applies to people outside of California.
It's actually harder on companies outside of California doing business in than it is in.
Right. So then you need to evaluate the risk and say it's only one or 20 customers or 10 customers they have. Do they really care? Right.
So was there an attempt in there to support California businesses at the you know, it's not outside the country or outside the state businesses?
No, there was no attempt in there to do it that way. I mean, they couldn't, you know, it's a law, right? They cannot tighten it, you know, from the applicability point of view. They have to make it simple enough for people to understand what is applied and what doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And of course, they have, if somebody is a government, a government business doesn't apply, for example. So there are some exceptions associated with it. And it's easy to look into the exceptions. But think about it in this way. When GDPR came along, everybody thought it only applies to EU companies, but then they started to recognize it doesn't apply only to EU companies, but companies that do business with EU, right? Mm-hmm. So it's similarly, it's a similar paradigm.
Gotcha. Yeah. So your book, tell us, you know, maybe how you indexed it. What topics, what general chapters or whatever are in there that somebody might look for and be interested in one or another more than the other?
So the general topics are applicability that we just talked about, okay, right? And interestingly, I start the whole thing by saying do nothing, right? So I start by basically talking about what is the risk of enforcement, what is the risk of private action for you? And you can make that assessment for yourself.
Okay.
And I give like simple 1 + 1 = 2 kind of simple formula, you know, for you to figure out whether or not it's applicable for your business.
Okay.
Right. So I start with that element of it. And the second element of it I start with is basically saying, take action, right? Urge you to take action, right? Just get started. Mm-hmm. Get somebody on your team, get one person, two people on your team to actually go look into the scope of the regulation that relates to your company, okay? Whether you have a budget this year, you don't have a budget, whether you can actually fit any budget into it, right? And how long does it take for you to actually get to a point where you are, if not, you know, 100% compliant, but at least 70, 80, 90% compliant, mm-hmm, right? So that's what I do. And then I get into, you know, what applies to you? What are the regulations? What are the notices? What are the disclaimers? You know, what policy changes do you need to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I go through that requirements kind of thing. So I have, you can actually go through a checkmark requirement list, mm-hmm, for your business in the book and basically say, oh, this applies to me. This doesn't, I'm a service provider. So these other things apply to me. You know, you can go through that element of it. Right.
So what is, you've mentioned before about at least you're 75% compliant or a certain percentage.
Right.
Is it, you think it's better to be, you know, partially in compliance than to be totally out of the picture? Are we already with other similar regulations pretty close?
No, we are not with other regulations nowhere near close.
Okay.
But if you have you know, FINRA type, you know, financial regulation oriented stuff, maybe, you know, CCPA may not fully apply to you depending on how you operate.
Okay.
For example, so it might, you might be out of you don't even need to worry about it.
Okay.
Okay. But let's come back to percentage compliance, right? Okay. In my opinion, 100% compliance to CCPA is extremely difficult.
You think it's not possible at this point?
It's right now with the technology and the tools and the processes that are available. Uh-huh. No.
Okay.
Even if you try to be, it'll be too expensive for you because there'll be a lot of manual processing involved. There's no tools automation available right away. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that I claim to have CCPA compliance automation, okay, but the reality of the situation is I have automation in a few areas. Not all the areas, right? So trying to say that we are going to be 100% compliant is, you know, it's not a good idea, you know? Don't do that, okay? So try to be 80% compliant, right?
And you think that's probably feasible?
That's actually feasible in 2 weeks.
Okay.
You can actually get done really, really fast, okay? And the next step is to actually look into your security. Now, coming back to security, right? Mm-hmm. Next step is to look into your security posture. So the SANS top 20 that everybody in security business know about, right? Make an assessment. How good are you in that, you know, the CIS 20? Now it's called CIS 20, I believe. Mm-hmm. How good are you in your SANS 20 assessment? CIS-20 assessment. If you are moderate to good, then from even from a private action, you can skirt it.
Okay.
But then you can put some DLP systems in place. You know, you can put some encryption in place. So it's all about now data. So, and that is where the 100%, that's where I come back and say 100% compliance is tough. Because number one, you need to do data discovery and map the data, encrypt the data, at rest, in motion, all kinds of stuff that happen, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a really tough hill to climb.
Okay.
Right? And because of budgets, you don't have the budget to climb that hill, right? Okay, but you try to do as much as you can with the available budget that you have. Mm-hmm. Right, but first and foremost, I recommend to everybody is to just get your disclosures and policy changes and website ready. Okay. You can do all of that work and your request intake, like the data subject access requests or privacy request intake or submission on your website, you know, things like that. They're very easy, very fast to do. Just get those done fast.
Okay. Right? And that's what you recommend next in your book as you're going through?
I would recommend that in my book. And then I recommend what to do with data. I actually showcase a number of tools available in the industry that you can evaluate and choose from, right? Mm-hmm. And I talk about some really brand new concept called privacy APIs.
Okay. Explain what you mean with that one.
So privacy APIs are... Supposing there is a request coming in from a consumer. Mm-hmm. The consumer submitted a request saying, do not sell my personal information, right? First, you need to know where it is. If you don't sell personal information, you can say, you can send back a standard email template saying, we don't sell personal information, so we comply to your request. But if you do sell personal information, then you need to figure out where it is, and you need to figure out who you sold it to, and you need to inform them that they cannot use it anymore. You know, so there is a cascade effect with respect to data brokers, as an example that comes up. So the privacy APIs, the intention of the privacy APIs is to actually help that concept. So a SaaS provider, a software company can implement privacy APIs inbound, right? Mm-hmm. So their customers can actually process those privacy requests from their consumers. So there is a supply chain of data and the flow of data that needs to be managed. So privacy APIs help you do that nearly automatically.
Okay. So setting up a way for your customers to interface with you and tell you what they desire for you to do with their data in compliance with CCPA.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's another difference in GDPR and CCPA. GDPR is more like opt-in. Mm-hmm. CCPA is more like opt-out.
Okay. All right. So you can, do the companies have to display what data they're holding on you, or is it just you tell them how you want to handle it based on your rights?
The company tells you what data they hold.
Okay.
So and that's also a right of the consumer to know.
So that's another interface that the companies would have to put together, is a way to display what data they hold on what individual.
Right. What type of data they hold, et cetera. And the consumer can request from the company all the data they have about them. And that's a big ask.
That's almost like a security hole in itself. Because now we're going to have the verifying who asked for their own data and prove that it was them.
Right.
And that's something where I think we can't control who's logging onto our networks in the first place. And now we're going to say we have an interface that gives you everything about a person. Ouch.
Right. And the verification is strict according to the regulation that just got draft regulation that came out of the California AG on October 11th. Mm-hmm. And the verification requirements basically say you cannot ask more than 2 pieces or 3 pieces of personally identifiable information. So if I can't ask you more than X pieces of personally identifiable information, right? How am I going to know for sure that you are the person who says you are? Yeah. You know, online wise, right? Otherwise, you just need to make a phone call and you need to do a lot of other verification methods, right? Yeah. So that's,
I can see this is gonna still be, in the works. There's still a lot of way to go on this then, with that process especially. But we're kind of reaching the top of our time here. I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell people what it is you offer, what you do, how they can get a hold of your information, how they can engage you to consult or whatever your services are.
Great, thank you. And please visit our website, infosecenforcer.com. As part of the offer, we offer free, forever free, unlimited users, unlimited privacy requests, our privacy request management application, web-based. Okay, it conforms to all the compliance requirements that you need to do for CCPA. So that is one thing that you can actually deploy in your website right away, like an intake form. Okay, and that's no cost to you at all. Go to our website and you can just sign up, click on the sign up button and sign up.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think a stop by your site's a must for anybody, at least to try to inform themselves on CCPA. So thank you so much for joining today. Definitely been a pleasure. And this is a topic that I'm sure a lot of people will get very familiar with over the next couple of years.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.